You have just tuned into Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender and letting go in order to let new and better things come into your life. Learn the true meaning of surrender. Get ready. Here is Brittany showing you how to lose to gain it all.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. You are here with me, Brittany Miles, and Miles to Go, How to Lose to Gain It All. And we have a very special show today. We are meeting with one of my favorite new colleagues, and her name is Steph Parrish, and she is an empath and psychic and spiritual coach. And we'll be talking today about practice. You're talking about practice? Practice? So I'm not sure how many of you are NBA fans, but that is an infamous quote and now meme by Allen Iverson when asked about practice. And today we're going to be using that as our launching pad to talk about the mindfulness tool called being in the present and how to stay in the present. And we do that by developing a spiritual practice, whatever that could be for you. It could be meditation, sitting meditation, laying meditation. It could be walking. It could be washing dishes. It could be whatever it is. But we're going to talk about how to get and stay in that present moment. And while I have you here, where are you right now? Are you driving in your car? Are you sitting in a meeting listening to this and thinking about what you're going to have for dinner at 4 o'clock? Are you still relitigating that argument with your spouse from this morning or last night? And if you are, that means you are in the past, or you could be potentially in the future. And that is not right now. And the point of power is in the present moment. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So with that being said, Steph, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm so good. Thanks for having me here. It's really great to be here.
Great. And so telling a little bit more about Steph. Steph and I met, I think about 3 or 4 months ago. She holds intuitive gatherings in her work, and I found her and I've had readings with her. She's spot on accurate, but most importantly, I found a kindred spirit as a person who's intuitive like myself and likes to bring people together in that Montel way to have community. So with that, Steph, tell us a little bit about yourself so folks can get to know you.
I'm a psychic medium and a sound healer. I've had trouble with terms lately because my gifts have been amplifying and expanding, and I'm a community builder. I'm a photographer. I'm an artist. So I've done a lot of creative work in my life, but right now I'm really focused on assisting people with ancestral healing, with clearing out blockages and obstacles in their lineages, in their energy fields, in their emotional bodies. And we'll get into this as we talk about awareness, but the bodies that we all work in, not just the mental field or the physical body, but there's different realms we'll work with. So I'm helping people and coaching people through energetic healing work and also communication in sessions to assist folks to step into their power in these ways and to recognize what's happening when they have an awakening or when they have an impulse or when they feel called to do something and sort of giving them some guidance around that on the spiritual path.
That's wonderful. And you sound like me, you can do a hodgepodge of things and you can be out there to support folks in their spiritual awakening, which is lovely because we need more of those folks, especially right now in 2020 with COVID. But Steph, real quick, tell us where folks can find you, your socials, your webs, anything that you are promoting right now, any workshops?
So I'm at indigocorners.com. And I'm on Instagram at Indigo Corners. I also have a YouTube channel. You can search for Indigo Corners or find the link to my YouTube on my Instagram profile. I'm also on Facebook, Indigo Corners Oracle. I'm a little bit less busy there. But if you go to indigocorners.com, you can read about my bio. You can look at under my services. I have a book a session page with all the information for my services and what I do. If you're curious about how things work, how sessions work, and how to book, everything is there. I currently have two options for sessions. One is intuitive mediumship. So I haven't talked about this should have put this in the intro, but I'm a medium. So I channel loved ones in the beyond, including pets. So if you want to communicate with someone, a grandparent, a family member, someone that you've loved and lost, I offer that session, and that includes tarot, psychic messages, and energetic reading to sort of set you back right on the path you want to be on. And then I have another session, which is the sound healing, where I actually go through to assist you in clearing energetic blocks and obstacles that you might be carrying to help you get clear and grounded. So right now, I've been running a special and intro rate on the sound healing since that's new this year. They're both the same price. As of August 1st, that price is going to jump. So if you do want to get into the intro discounted rate, go to my website and look at the sound healing session. And by July 31st.
All right, cool. So everybody, you heard it here first. Get in on it. I can validate all of the readings that she has said. I've had them, as I said, spot on, kind of eerie spot on, and I'll just leave it there. But let's just jump into what we're talking about today. So getting into the present, let's just all take a little bit of a deep breath, take a deep breath in and out. One more in and out. Good, feeling a little bit grounded. So I did that so I could slow myself down because I could feel myself kind of getting like blah, 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 a little bit hyper. But I wanted to do that just so I could get grounded and back into the present. And right now, my mind's calmer, so I can ask the question of Steph, what is awareness? What is it to you?
To me, awareness is a practice. It's fluid and it's dynamic. It's not a static state necessarily. There are levels of states you can achieve where you have cultivated more awareness. Mm-hmm. So it's a very subjective path. It's a very internal experience, and only you're going to know your level of awareness. And that you can find guides and mentors and teachers to help you with this, of course, and I recommend that. But awareness is relative to your experience, and so it's also happening in the body. And when we talk about like mindfulness, people can start thinking about what they think it is. So like you were saying in the intro, when you're driving, you're thinking about this thing, awareness is outside of that process. Awareness is an embodied experience. It's something that's set back into the self a little bit. There's a little bit more space between being able to sort of watch your thinking, if you will. And folks that meditate, especially and have a practice, will kind of speak about this. So you might have heard people in Buddhism kind of talk about this, or in different spiritual lineages kind of talk about space, you know, in between their thinking. It has to do with your energetic state.
So I wanted to dive a little bit deeper there. So last night, and we've talked about this, Eckhart Tolle and the Power of Now, New Earth. And as we were pulling this episode together, that was something that we thought we would touch on. So I was going back through Eckhart's work. And one of the things that I wanted to touch on, especially in this segment, and you brought it up, is that you are not your thoughts. And that's a really difficult thing to grok, because we all have the soundtrack of our lives playing in our head. And that's our inner voice. That's our inner dialogue. And most of the time, when I was reviewing this lesson, I realized it's just repetitive. It's the same things over and over and over again. It really isn't anything different. You know, we've created those lines and linkages in our brain. So that's on replay, right? And it's challenging for us to realize that there's a self beyond the soundtrack. The soundtrack is just there. And at times I think it's a cruel joke of nature that we have this soundtrack, and I assume it's there for some sort of safety for us. I'm not going to delve into that science because I don't know anything about it, but it's just a rough sort of lay guesstimate about it. But it's a challenge to realize that there's Brittany and then there's the brain, right? And what you're talking about is that's that space. It's not a liminal space. It's an actual space. You can be the observer to the brain. So when you're working with people, how do you help them get to begin to understand that?
They have to develop the body and the body bring. Mm-hmm. So we, and this is a kind of a deep subject matter, but we have multiple brains. We don't just have the thinking mind. We have the emotional heart center and we have the physical body, and not just the heart pumping blood and automatic functions. Like our thought is automatic, like what you're saying. It's an automatic replay loop and it's going. So we have to learn about the other spaces in ourselves, energetic centers in our full being, to start to understand the difference. To be able to step back from this, you have to develop something else. So a lot of times when we talk about meditation culturally, we have this experience around, oh, I'm just going to quiet my mind. I'm just going to sit and wait. And now that's a true experience of having something sort of release from here when we've been sitting in stillness. But how does that occur? It occurs because the body starts to move energy in a different way than is happening up here. So there's a relationship to something else that needs to be established. And this is where practice comes in.
So again, powerful stuff that you're talking about. And as you said, it's very deep and it's very philosophical, right? It almost feels esoteric, but it's a real thing, right? Mm-hmm. So we talked about that space, right, between thought and your brain. And that's where we are right now in this present moment. But then we have the integration of the body. So how does one begin to start to think about the body? And do we think about it as separate from, so is it the brain, the body, and the thoughts? Just trying to think, how do you work with folks around that as well? Because again, that's a really trippy thing, right? Most people are dead from the neck down. They have no idea what's going on. I can validate that as a Pilates teacher in the past, where I would say, move your right leg. No, the other right leg. No, the other right leg. And people are like, oh, because again, they're on autopilot.
Well, we're disconnected and disassociated often for many reasons from this other intelligence. So the way in is sensation in the body and the breath. The breath is a sensation. There are many sensations. So it's imperative that you get to know the sensations in your body. It's an experiential personal, you have to experience in you. So you can only talk about it and think about it so much because it is so esoteric, because it is personal. So there's something, so this is where practice is essential, is that if you-
One second.
Go ahead. Yep.
Apologize. We got to go to break. Hold that thought. Let's put a pin on it. We will be back. So folks, we're talking with Steph Parrish today, empath, healer, spiritual coach, about awareness. And right now we are trying to get through that esoteric part of how does the brain and the body and the breath all work together to keep us in that present state. Stay tuned. We'll be back at the other side of the break. You're here with Brittany Miles on Miles to Go, How to Lose to Gain It All. See you soon. Hi, I'm Brittany Miles, and I'm hosting a Zoom class on Wednesday, July 29th, 5 p.m. Pacific, with East West Bookshop here in Seattle. The title of my class is The Life You Save May Be Your Own. You're going to learn about how I lost it all in 2016 and the three-step process which got me back my life.
Tickets available at eastwestbookshop.com.
Hi, this is Brittany Miles from Miles to Go, How to Lose to Gain It All. Here to share a tip with you. It's called 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We all need a break. Time to let it go. Here's a great go-to when you need to surrender and get back to the present moment. Acknowledge 5 things you see around you. Acknowledge 4 things you can touch around you. Acknowledge 3 things you hear. Acknowledge 2 things you can smell. Acknowledge 1 thing you can taste. And with that, take a deep breath. Now you're in the present moment. Brittany Miles, Miles to Go, How to Lose to Gain It All. You can find me on the 2nd and 4th Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific. 4 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. And we are here with Steph Parrish on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles, How to Lose to Gain It All. And if you're just joining us, we are talking about practice. Practice? Are we talking about practice? The famous Allen Iverson quote and meme. But really, we're going to use that as a spiritual thought about developing present awareness and how do we stay there. And we do that by having some sort of spiritual practice. So we're here again with my guest Steph Parrish, and we were just talking about how the body and the brain and your thoughts all connect in energetic states. So Steph, for the folks that are joining us, or just to kind of bring us back from the break, let's talk about energetic states. What are they? How can we use them? What's their power in our practice?
Energetic states are a coming together of different aspects of self, which is beyond just the thinking mind. So it's establishing a relationship with your body, with your heart center. And not just thinking about these things, but establishing a relationship with something that you don't yet know. So achieving a new energetic state is being open to not knowing what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being open to the unknown. It's being willing to challenge and test your experience like a scientist. It's kind of, it's being willing to ask some questions around how am I feeling and what's going on. And not just asking mental questions, but achieving an energetic state through the breath, through practicing sensation in the body, through moving the breath through the body.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many different tools actually that you can achieve different energetic states. And I would say that there's an infinite amount of them, just as there are people and people's unique experiences. So again, going back to this idea that your energetic state can only really be fully understood by you. And so you have to sort of test your experience with yourself, mm-hmm. your body, your breathing, what your breathing makes you feel like, and how these things are connected internally, rather than just sitting still and sort of thinking about, okay, I'm going to close my eyes and not think.
Right. You know, I agree with you, because I think that's something that's super powerful. And I have always assumed that people feel exactly like I do. And that's just how our ego works, unfortunately. And when teaching my 12-year-old some mindful practices, her energetic states are vastly different than mine. You know, her sense of touch, she's highly sensitive. I'm highly sensitive, but she's even more so. So I'm like, does that really hurt you? And she's like, yes. And it took me a long time to understand that my nerve endings are not hers. Her synapses are hers. So what it means to feel the breath in the body is an entirely different experience. So I could teach her mindfulness tools. I could teach her meditation, but it's going to take a different form. So that's what I really love, what I've been calling this accidental Buddhism and actual real Buddhism, is learning that we can all use the same tools and psychology, but to a different end. And with these energetic states, it's going to be different for everybody, right? And that's cool. And it just shows that you can use whatever you need to bring yourself back to awareness. And what's one tool that we could access, let's say the breath, to get to present awareness?
There are many breathwork coaches. There are many meditation mm-hmm. teachers. I do recommend working with someone who mm-hmm. understands. Even in yoga, you might learn about different types of yogic breathing tools and techniques that you're using to move breath throughout the body. You know, Kundalini yoga or yoga nidra. There's so many different formats. So what I really feel like is it's important to go in the direction that you're called. If you resonate, and when I say resonate, I mean you have like a feeling or an impulse when you listen to a certain teacher talk, or you feel really drawn in to something that someone is sharing, it feels really true to you. Mm-hmm. It's being willing to tentatively trust that. And I say tentative because we need to maintain our sovereignty and not give our power away to any other person or teaching or information. So being open to studying something, but maintaining a certain boundary in terms of only taking it so far that feels kind of like right to you. This doesn't mean you don't test yourself. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you kind of don't open to trusting. So there's a fine, in terms of tools and adapting and adopting tools, I think there's a fine line of being open and available to new ideas and new ways of being and new teachings and letting things come through mm-hmm. in a place of trust, but then also knowing where your limits at and your boundaries are. And if you're feeling kind of like something is too much, or you're blown out, or you're tired, or it's not working anymore, whatever, that you're also listening to yourself. So I think that there's that in of itself is kind of a practice in terms of what tools are right for me. So, you know, right. there's like, I wrote a list here. There's like the emotion code, which is a tapping technique to release stuck emotions from the body. Sound and movement is incredibly ancient and essential tool for releasing energy.
So dancing,
singing, like using your voice, literally. Yes, absolutely. And when we listen to music, we feel our emotions shift. You know, it can mm-hmm. be incredibly helpful. So there are basic foundational things that we have access to on a daily basis that we may not even understand as being spiritual. But, you know, things can shift our energy.
Like going out in nature.
Yes.
Just being able to walk down the street. I mean, some folks are more urban, some people are suburban, or just actual in the countryside, and being outside and being able to ground yourself. Some of the best practices that I've heard of, you know, if you feel comfortable, like take those shoes off, ground yourself in the earth, in the grass. If not, just stand out there. Sometimes when I'm walking the dog, he literally will just stop and stare. We both have Chihuahuas, so, and that's one of
the things. Mine do the same.
And my Chihuahua will just sit there. Literally, he will just lie down because he's in charge, and just stare and sniff and just look around. And I'm like, let's go. I want to go in the house. It's hot. But I've started to realize if I relent and actually go with what's happening in that moment, and I'm not suffering because I have a different expectation, I do start to feel grounded because I can't smell what he smells, but then I see the leaves gently blowing that I didn't see before. I can start to feel the grass. Sometimes I can smell it if it's been freshly cut. I can see children at play. I can see cars moving. I could see other animals around us. I can start to see life. I start to see the present moment. So I agree with these tools. We have many more tools in our arsenal than we, that's probably not a great metaphor, in our kits than we realize. So getting grounded in nature, as you said, literally movement and sound to move that energy. And that's what we do with children, with toddlers, right? If they've got a lot of energy, let's get those wiggles out. Let's sing and dance. And they move that energy. Same thing for us. Other things we can do is doing something for someone else. I'm sure you've heard that.
If you feel helpless, be helpful.
Exactly. It's get your butt up and do something because the energy does shift. You get out of the victim to victor. And it's not like you're better than someone else. You're just helping someone else. And those are challenges, but we do have the ability to change our energy and for the better so that we can get back to that present state. And as a culture, I think we've lost it because of all the technology that we have. And as I always say, enemy number one, that was what I did. And it distracts people. I watch people walk down the street, you know, boomers to zoomers, looking downward with TechNet on their device, walking down the street, crossing a street, and they have no idea where they are. And that frightens me.
Yeah. Something you just said really resonated too when you were sharing your experience of being out in nature and the leaves and the grass and noticing. Mm-hmm. Even you speaking about that was a transmission for me. I felt that experience from you. I felt that slow down, that glance, that is presence. And it's simple. It's like way more simple than we make it. So when we're talking about energetic state, like you have access, depending on your life experience, of course, and the environment that you're in, but being able to willingly seek that out of like going out for a walk or a stroll, or a, you know, just sitting.
Yeah.
Just sitting and observing, right? Because what you said was so profound. You're just observing your environment. And the times in my life that I've had the most presence has been me simply sitting in a space and noticing like the beauty of a flower and being taken in by an object, by an experience that I'm having right now. So it isn't more than that, but you're right. We're so distracted that we just forget that we have that capacity to stop, detach, and choose to sort of pause and re-engage with what's right in front of us.
And that's part of what my signature teaching is what came out of 2016 for me, and which I'll be teaching at East West Books next Wednesday, 7:29, 5 p.m. Pacific, which is the life you save may be your own. And within that, the three steps for me are coming back to the breath, becoming aware of the present, and then the stillness to have discernment. That discernment could be whatever. And you, from that place, you get to figure out what you're going to do, not do, or just be in awareness, right? And I was, again, going back to Eckhart. He had a very similar thing, too. He was talking about surrender, and the agreement is, we are in agreement in that it's not giving up, it's not giving in, it's being able to allow what is to be. And, and you get to sit and observe what is, and you get to make decisions about what is, and maybe it sparks a change, and maybe it doesn't. If it sparks a change, it's something that you can handle in that moment. And that's something that I learned, that I could count on myself to make the best decisions in the moment. And I get to make another decision in another moment, but that doesn't even exist.
So it sounds to me like it's like what you're saying is it's not coming from striving. It's not coming from mental processes. You're not in a linear space, but it's almost as if you're making a choice based on your energetic state being able to have this access to what's right in front of you. And that's how there's the space opens up for you to choose something differently. But the choice itself, the striving for the change isn't the, that's not the thing. That's not the goal. The goal is just to come back to this place and then sort of seeing what happens from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And as you know, as we've been saying throughout this entire show is that if this is all esoteric, and especially in the way, if you're reading Eckhart, he is a philosopher and it reads like philosophy, but for the common lay person, or even if you're reading Alan Watts, all very similar. There's nothing new under the sun, right? It's just how people come to it and choose to explain it. But it's all real simple stuff when it happens, because it happens.
When it happens.
Right. We're just using words to describe something that happened. That's it. It's when it's happening, it's not esoteric. For me, with some of the stillness, what I did is I sat with very uncomfortable emotions. And I didn't want to sit with those uncomfortable emotions. So I tried to circumvent them again with busyness, which is what we do. And that's why we stay out of the now, because we will have to confront something right in front of us, right? And it's that busyness. And our culture supports us. Well, I've got soccer practice and I've got to get to the grocery store and Costco, that line. And then I've got some emails to catch up on. I've got to check on mom.
The mind will do anything to avoid facing the thing it's trying to avoid. It's built for that. Because, you know, it's like you said before, it's meant to keep you safe, but but it's overactive. Our culture has overactivated it. So we think we're keeping ourselves safe. We're really just avoiding the truth of what we're experiencing, which might be extremely painful. Mm-hmm. And you're right. And this, I love that you brought this up, because I know that before when we were kind of chatting about this idea of like, people don't want to meditate because they want to do it perfectly, or they want to do it right, or it doesn't work for them because it's uncomfortable. And it's like, oh yes, it's uncomfortable.
Oh yeah.
I mean, on a daily basis, it's uncomfortable, because that's how much anxiety we've been avoiding in ourselves for so long that this stuff is really backed up.
Right. It's true, because there is no self-improvement. There is nothing to improve. You're perfectly fine just the way you are. There's a whole cottage industry on self-improvement. I don't consider myself a person that is trying to help people to self-improve. It's just to take away the layers and slough off the old stuff, because that's what happened for me. Once I get rid of the old stuff, like a lot, one layer, there's going to be other layers, but you keep going and digging deeper and deeper and deeper, and you get closer to those deeper emotions. I was talking to Dr. Pat yesterday, and she was asking, how long did that surrender last for you after 2016? I'm like, maybe a good year and a half. And then I was like, and then new stuff came up, like my daughter's mental illness.
Right.
And I'm in a new place again, where I'm on a daily basis, I struggle, but then I realize I'm struggling because my ego's struggling, and I'm not focused on what's happening with her in that moment. What were you going to say?
The struggle is what gets you to that energetic state. If you're not willing to suffer intentionally or to struggle in that right way, which is tricky, but if you don't learn that for yourself, you can't get rid of those layers to get to a greater place of clarity, of greater peace, of greater ease, because there's too much stuff in the way. So all that fuzziness that comes up when you're trying to sit with yourself, all those thoughts that are heavy, it's like you got to get more and more comfortable with them so that they kind of like learn to just, they get easier to deal with, and then they lose a little bit of power, and then you're kind of like, I feel a little better. And then another thing comes up and you have a wave of whatever, because we're human and we're dealing with stuff all the time, as you're saying. And there's it's a process, but that you do build up something in yourself that becomes stronger over time. And that's self-trust. You start to understand who you are on a deeper level, you know?
Yes.
Powerful.
Yes. And I think what you said was super powerful. It's about self-trust, because the only person that can save your life is you, by meeting these tough emotions. And with that, we are going to be going to break. I am here with the lovely Steph Parrish. She is an empath, psychic, medium. She's also a spiritual coach. We are talking about awareness and developing spiritual practices to keep us in awareness. And we will be back on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. You're with Brittany Miles of Miles to Go, How to Lose to Gain It All. And we'll see you in a bit.
Hi, this is Brittany Miles from Miles to Go, How to Lose to Gain It All. Here to share a tip with you. It's called 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We all need a break. Time to let it go. Here's a great go-to when you need to surrender and get back to the present moment. Acknowledge 5 things you see around you. Acknowledge 4 things you can touch around you. Acknowledge 3 things you hear. Acknowledge 2 things you can smell. Acknowledge 1 thing you can taste. And with that, take a deep breath.
Now you're in the present moment.
Brittany Miles, Miles to Go, How to Lose to Gain It All. You can find me on the 2nd and 4th Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Hi, I'm Brittany Miles, and I'm hosting a Zoom class on Wednesday, July 29th, 5 p.m. Pacific, with East West Bookshop here in Seattle. The title of my class is The Life You Save May Be Your Own. You're going to learn about how I lost it all in 2016 and the three-step process which got me back my life.
Tickets available at eastwestbookshop.com.
Hey everybody, it's me, psychic medium Jamie.
And me, spirit walker Nicole. We are so excited to introduce you to our new live call-in show called Shades of Spirit on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
As we connect you with your crossed over loved ones, angels, and guides, and also help you develop your own psychic and healing abilities. For more information and to book your own private experience, go to ShadesOfSpirit.com and also follow us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformations, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or visit Susan's website at SusanDolce.com.
Everyone, welcome back. Welcome back. I'm sitting here with Steph Parrish, and we are talking about practice. Practice? Are we talking about practice? Yes, quoting the ever famous Allen Iverson on Yet Again Practice. And our talk today is about awareness. How do we stay in awareness? How do we keep that presence in our bodies and breath and mind? And now Steph and I want to talk about making it real. How does one develop a spiritual practice? And there are many different ways to do that. Meditation is one, dance is another, going out in the church of nature is another possibility too. But it's going to depend on what works for you and what resonates for you. So with that, Steph, how does one develop a practice?
Well, first off, you got to choose one.
Yes, it's true.
Pick something. Mm-hmm. You know, pick one thing to start. People can get very overwhelmed with tools. It's very mm-hmm. sparkly when you launch into the spiritual path. And I've dealt with this with clients when they're having an awakening and they want the unicorns and the rainbows and the sparkly lights and the, you know, and it's exciting because you're feeling something shift. You're feeling something awaken in you, and you want to know more and you want to explore. But it's like you got to start somewhere. You have to have a point of origin. So in my experience, at least, and I've toggled, I have lots of different playgrounds that I like to work with and on. And, you know, you don't need to fully limit yourself, but it's really important to find a pathway that you feel aligned with, a teacher that you feel aligned with, or a guide if you so choose to work with someone. And you take it seriously because you have to mm-hmm. develop other things than you're going to be aware of at the beginning. So when you're starting out, you have to know that you don't know everything and that nobody does, but you need to learn. Mm-hmm. You got to cultivate something. And so it takes self-discipline and it takes commitment. So it takes a willingness to show up to the path that you choose every single day. If you really want to get to a point where you do know more, where you are stronger in something, where you are able to master something, even if that's your goal, that you take it seriously without being too hard on yourself, but that's kind of another conversation.
Exactly. And one point I want to interject in is that you show up, right?
Fully.
That's the key. It's showing up physically, but really it's emotionally. I would say mentally, but it's really emotionally, because you can show up in your head, but it doesn't really move the needle. It is being open and having that vulnerability so that you can move the dials within yourself.
And your thinking's going to want to talk you out of it. So you have to know mm-hmm. that in advance. It's really good to know that your thinking is probably not going to be on your side with this. Like, your mind is going to want to spin the automatic wheel. It's been doing it your whole life. So it's doing what it's supposed to do. So you have to understand that's going to happen. So that discomfort becomes the self-discipline is that, like, I'm willing to do this, even though it's extremely uncomfortable or it's painful. I'm willing to face what comes with this because I want to grow. I want to mm-hmm. become whole. I want to deal with stuff. I want to have more love in my life. Like, ultimately the end goal is really cool and good. It's fulfilling. To not bypass is such a huge skill and a gift, especially right now. We need people to be willing to look at their stuff, sit with their stuff, and work through it. And, you know, so it is. It's extreme commitment. It is. Not to scare anybody, but.
It is, but it is scary. And that's why folks don't always do it. And for me, when I was on the path with those uncomfortable emotions that I sat with, I realized, being vulnerable, that I needed help. I was unable to breathe because I was having panic attacks all the time. So I needed to talk about it. And luckily, through a friend, I found my current therapist, and she's amazing and really worked intensely with me. I got back into journaling and everything came out, and I was able to process that way and then bring it into session. And for me, that worked as a practice at that time, where I could confront difficult emotions, you know, family of origin trauma, family system issues, just personal issues. And I was able to let it go, and it was in a safe space. Now, is that true for everyone? Maybe not. I do highly encourage, if you do have those types of issues as a coach, I would say go see somebody. Go find some support, go find some help to work through that with someone that can be supportive of you and help you in those different spaces, because everyone's going to move that energy through at different rates. And after that, I did meditate, and sometimes I still do, but not always. It goes in cycles for me. Mm-hmm. But again, I find that taking walks with my dog tends to be a great, really great practice, because it helps me get into awareness. I have a meditation we received from a therapist working with us, and it's called 5-4-3-2-1. I have a tip on that, and you'll hear it running, and it's also on my website, where you look at, as I read here, acknowledge 5 things you see around you, 4 things you can touch around you, acknowledge 3 things you hear, acknowledge 2 things you can smell, and 1 thing you can taste. And by doing that, and I don't remember this in perfect order, just so you know, it helps me get back to the present. It's like the zen of washing dishes. So you can find a practice wherever.
Yeah. You are. And it depends on your own personal goals. Mm-hmm. You might not want to, your intention in your life might not to be to achieve the ultimate, you know, expanded awareness. I'm like, and that might not be your path, or you're going to have a different sense of awareness than someone else. I mean, it's, you have to make it about you. You have to trust your own instincts about what you want to, what makes you feel, what's calling you forward, and what makes you feel at home in yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to just say what makes you feel good, because it's not just a lightweight thing, because it does mean facing your pain. And so many of us, even if we don't have personal trauma, I mean, I do, I don't know anybody who doesn't really, but even if we don't identify with that, we live in a traumatized society. And so it's really imperative to get support when we're on a spiritual journey, I think, and build community. Have people at the very least that you can talk to about what you're experiencing, that aren't going to judge you, that aren't going to shame you, that aren't going to try to like gaslight you and tell you it's not happening. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to have a community. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, definitely. And, tools to find a practice. I mean, I would say, you know, again, look to those communities, look to folks like myself or to Steph, lots of folks on the Transformation Talk Network, which we're on right now. And also, you can find lots of tools on the internet as well. Any quick tools or tips you can share with the folks?
I love your 5-4-3-2-1 method. I was actually we're going to do a little meditation in a minute. Yay. And I was actually going to, I probably will start with looking at some things around the room. I think it's very important in terms of practicing presence to actually show up to your environment as it stands as best you can. But in terms of tools, yeah, I mean, there's so many, without plugging a whole bunch of people, I have a wide network of practitioners, of online resources, of network lists. In your community, in your city where you live, and find out if there's local resources, do some Google searching, check up. And if you can't find people, go online and start doing research. I mean, the Google is infinite. and again, it's going to be really different with each person. And so, or find a yoga studio, and go talk to an instructor, go book. So many practitioners have a free 30-minute discovery call. You can email me, ask me questions, reach out to people. It does take a sense of effort. Like, this is part of the commitment, I feel, is like going outside of your comfort zone a little bit and asking some questions and being like, hey, I'm really interested in this. I've called it like coming out of the spiritual closet. Some people, it's not normalized to have spiritual experiences on certain levels. If you're like talking to extraterrestrials, or you're talking to, ascended masters, and you feel like a crazy person. So it's really important that you just start with finding at least one person you can communicate with. And maybe if you have a buddy, you have a spiritual buddy, you guys can go out together and sort of establish your own community or start making calls. Because this can be a very scary thing for certain people, depending on where they're at in the world.
True. And I think you start where you are. That's where I did. I explored lots of things spiritually. I was born and raised Catholic, but I still use large portions of that along with Buddhism. I pray every day. That works for me. I pray in the morning, I pray in the evening, and I pray for thanks and thanksgiving. If you are a person that has faith and belief in the Judeo-Christian religions, there's a lot there. Prayer and meditation are deeply integrated into all of those religions. I would be loath to say that it isn't. But prayer is a powerful thing. Yes. So if that works for you, pray. I mean, there are times when I am freaked out and I can't even think of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I have certain Bible verses that I have memorized, right? And they are there to focus your mind, right? It's taking the breath in, breath out. You could use it as a silent prayer. You could use it as a chant, right? There are lots of things where you can take what you know, love, feel comfortable with, and start where you are. And those things can help you bring in that awareness.
Because find a simple practice for yourself. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
That's it. It's like, find something simple.
Right? I'll tell you the things that work for me real quick. Mm-hmm. I have a tree in my backyard. I have a relationship with this tree. I go out and I sit under the tree and I put my spine against the tree. And I just let the tree give me a hug. It sounds kind of ridiculous, but for me, it brings me back to something. I trust that, my relationship with that tree. Or I go to the front yard and I just face plant into the grass. Or I stare up at the clouds. So many of us as kids, we used to look up. We used to sit on the ground and look up at the clouds. That's a spiritual practice.
Yes, it is. Yes, it
is. Simplify it.
Exactly. As I throw over my microphone, but we're back now. So with that, Steph, let's go into that meditation that we've been teasing throughout the episode. So I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. So we're just going to do a little mini-medi. What I would like to suggest for those of you that are interested in establishing meditation is that you try to find a practice, or you even just sit for 15 to 20 minutes a day, or you find a guided meditation for 15 to 20 minutes a day, because it does take that long for your system to just relax itself kind of automatically, for your mind to give up control. Can take about 15 to 20 minutes to settle. So we're not going to do all that, but I just want to kind of like suggest it. Or even if you decide to go lay flat on the earth for 15 or 20 minutes, it can be enough to bring you back. The other quick tool I wanted to mention was Epsom salt baths. Mm-hmm. For me, it's an essential part of doing energy work, because the salt actually does clear the energy away and helps to relax you. So that being said, we're going to go into a little guided meditation. I would love everybody, I guess, I would love everybody to actually do this with their hands if you're watching. We're just going to kind of, we're going to ground a little bit. You're going to where you feel the heat kind of charged up through your palms. And then when you feel that kind of get kind of hot, I want you to put your hands kind of right on top of your thighs, just right above your knees. And feel that kind of jolt of electricity that's coming through your own body, go through your feet and into the ground. And then relax back into your chair, feeling yourself connected with gravity in a way. And I really want you to feel the chair or the bed or the floor, wherever you're sitting. Sense the object. And move your shoulders back, just kind of relaxing your body a bit. And I want you to take a deep breath in, and on the exhale out of, so in through your nose and out through your mouth. And on the exhale, you're going to breathe into your feet. And one more time, in through the nose and out through the mouth towards the feet. Deepening the belly, opening sort of the pelvic region and just leaning into the space of the chair or the space below your body, feeling gravity carry you back so that you're resting almost like in a hammock or a boat. It's like being suspended, but knowing that there's an anchor below you. And I recommend maybe not even visualizing a whole lot. You don't need to see anything. And it's fine if you do, but really just feeling the weight of your body drop and being kind of tethered to the earth, tethered to something below you, tethered to this unknown sort of space into the dirt. And finding some resonance with that, finding some comfort with the fact that you're always connected to this. And gravity is your proof. You're always anchored. And as you breathe, just letting the energy kind of fall from your shoulders, down your arms, down your torso, into your pelvic floor, and letting it come down your thighs and your knees, sort of slowly and gently, just like honey dripping down the backs of your legs to your feet, and then pooling below you, little golden spinning orbs, sort of flicking off any debris, any stress, becoming golden light in a pool below your feet, and then evaporating into the earth. And another deep kind of breath in, not pushing or pulling, but just releasing trying to do anything.
And Steph, I hate to stop here, but we are going to need to wrap up. And I think this is
that was perfect.
Okay, thank you. I think this was a great meditation and something, folks, you can continue to listen to. I want to thank today's guest, Steph Parrish. She's a psychic medium and spiritual coach and sound healer. Please check her out. Steph, your socials real quick.
IndigoCorners.com. Instagram is Indigo Corners. YouTube, you can search for me, Indigo Corners, or find the link in my Instagram, Facebook, Indigo Corners Oracle.
Great. And we were talking about practice, and we were actually walking our talk with that great mini meditation. You can learn more with Steph if you book with her, and she has some specials this month. And I have a class next Tuesday, 7:29, with East West Books to talk about this a little bit more in depth along with breathwork. And it's called The Life You Save May Be Your Own. Please reserve your tickets, $30 a piece. Well worth the ticket price at eastwestbooks.com. You can also check it out at miles2gocoaching.com. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in about 2 weeks. And take a deep breath of life and keep it moving. Ciao.
You have been listening to Miles to Go with Brittany Miles, how to lose to gain it all. Tune in live every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Brittany Miles teaches you how to lose to gain it all with the healing power of surrender. Are you ready to lead a happier life? For more information or to connect with Brittany, visit miles2gocoaching.com. That's miles with the number 2, GO, coaching.com.